Well, among the many things that I am loving about living in Bergen County would have to be the fact that we're surrounded by some of the most amazing food in all the world. I was reminded of this recently when I was reading a snippet of the memoir of one of the most well-known chefs of the area by the name of Anthony Bourdain. In his memoir entitled Kitchen Confidential, he writes this: "I've long believed that good food and good eating is all about adventure. Whether we're talking about unpasteurized Stilton or raw oysters, food for me has always been an adventure." And he goes on to say that when you gather around a table with someone and you have good food and good conversation, it's not just our bodies that are being nourished, but something mysterious happens in those experiences. Well, we look today at what one author, Robert Barron, has said is one of the most important stories in the Bible when it comes to understanding communion. And I was glad to see that the lectionary schedules it for the first Sunday of the month. It's very appropriate that we look at this story as we gather to take communion. Because in this story, we see Jesus himself gathering with his disciples and sharing a meal and showing us what happens when we take communion. Now, there are a lot of different angles at which we could approach this from, but I want to do it from that particular angle of the question, what happens when we take communion? What happens when we gather the first Sunday of the month and receive the bread and the cup? And this wonderful story, one of my favorite in the entire Bible, tells us that two things happen. It tells us that in communion, Jesus meets people where they are, and Jesus shows people who he is. So what happens when we take communion? Jesus meets people where they are, and Jesus shows people who he is. So let's look first of all. The first thing that happens when we take communion is that Jesus meets people where they are. Now, two disciples are in this story, and one of them is unnamed. It's probably Simon. But it's interesting that Luke makes a point of telling us that one of them was named Cleopas. Now, it's interesting that he mentions that because any reader in the first century would have immediately realized that Cleopas is a Greek name, which means anybody reading this story in the first century would have immediately realized that this person was an outsider to the religious community. The second detail that's interesting is not only that here do you have an outsider to the religious community, but secondly, both of these guys were running away. It tells us that they were on the road to Emmaus, and we don't really know much about Emmaus. The Bible doesn't say much about it. What we do know is that it was 7 miles away from Jerusalem, which was the holy city, where Mount Zion was, where it was believed for centuries was the dwelling place of God himself. And furthermore, it was the last place where the disciples had seen Jesus nailed to the cross. And yet they're making a deliberate choice to leave that place and go far away. The story even tells us that they were doubting whether the whole thing that Jesus had told them about his resurrection was really true. So here you have an outsider to the religious community. You have so-called disciples who are in such doubt about it all that they're running away from the religious center of the world. And yet, Luke tells us in verse 15 that Jesus came near and went with them. About 8 years ago, a friend of mine gave me a memoir by a woman named Sarah Miles. Sarah Miles was a reporter and an amateur chef living in San Francisco who never set foot in a church until she was 47. And she tells of the story of going into a church, and here's what she writes. In an experience I can't logically explain, I walked into a church and a stranger handed me a chunk of bread. That's exactly what's happening here on the road to Emmaus. This stranger, who turned out to be Jesus, gives them bread. She goes on and she says, suddenly, I knew that it was made out of real flour and water and yeast, yet I also knew that God, named Jesus, was alive and in my mouth. Faith turned out not to be something abstract at all, but material and physical. I had thought Christianity meant angels and being good. But instead, I discovered a religion rooted in the most ordinary yet subversive practice. A dinner table where everyone is welcome and where the despised and outcasts are honored. That's the first thing that this story shows us that happens in communion. Jesus meets people where they are. Well, there's a second thing we see in this story, and that's this. In communion, Jesus shows people who he is. Now, even when Jesus came near to them and went with them, the rest of verse 15 tells us that they were still kept from recognizing him. He was still a stranger in their eyes. But by the end of the story, these two disciples have returned to Jerusalem, and in verse 35, they report to the rest of the disciples how Jesus had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Now again, it's not because there was something magic about the bread and the cup. It's not as if it were some spiritual pill that they took and it immediately restored their sight. They recognized Jesus, and he showed himself to them in what he actually did, taking bread, breaking it, giving thanks for it, and giving it away. Luke is showing us that this is a God who gives thanks for the goodness of creation, who brings, as we say in our liturgy, the first Sunday of each month, who brings grain together from all many different hills and brings it into one loaf and breaks it and feeds the hungry and the undeserving. A God of tremendous forgiveness. That's who Jesus shows us to be in the breaking of the bread. One of my favorite short stories, which was also made into a movie about 20 years ago, is a story entitled Babette's Feast. It was written by Isaac Dennison, who you may recognize as being portrayed by Meryl Streep in the celebrated movie Out of Africa. Isaac Dennison wrote this story, Babette's Feast, and it has to do with two sisters who lived in this really, really dark and dingy part of Denmark, where everybody was just kind of depressed all the time and everything was kind of dismal and very basic and there was no enjoyment. And there were these two sisters who were the daughters of a very, very strict pastor. Hopefully only part of that is true, but two sisters who were the daughters of this very strict pastor, and after he dies, both of these women turn away from a life of pleasure, and they decide to lead this strict religious group that he founded. And what they found was that everyone who lived in the village had some sort of falling out with another. Nobody liked each other. And so on top of the fact that it was always dark and gray and very basic. People were enemies. They had all these grievances and disagreements with each other. But in comes this dear lady who was simply a house servant, and her name was Babette. And she unexpectedly wins the lottery. And she was a political refugee who had taken shelter in the home of these women. And she wins the lottery. And she offers to pay for and prepare a dinner in honor of this very strict pastor who had passed away. And she spends every penny she received in this lottery in making this elaborate feast. And it turns out that she was one of the finest chefs in all of Europe. And she prepares this feast, and what happens next is described by one commentator on the story in these words. One by one, under the influence of wonderful food and wine, former enemies began to soften toward one another. Comments and words as sweet as the food began to pass between them, and forgiveness was sought and granted. You know, in a real sense, that's what happens every time we take communion. We see Jesus, who didn't simply spend all of his money that he won from the lottery to prepare a feast, but rather who gave his very life that we may gather around his table and feast with him, so that we're not only joined to him, but joined closer together. And as we break bread and as we share the cup, we're reminded that this is a God who was broken and poured out for us, that we might exhibit that same type of love and acceptance and forgiveness with one another. And so what happens when we take communion? Well, the story of the road to Emmaus paints the beautiful picture for us and tells us that when we take communion, Jesus meets people where they are, and Jesus shows people who he is. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this most wonderful of stories of Jesus appearing to these outsiders on the road to Emmaus. We pray that as we prepare to take communion, that as baptized Christians who've professed Christ, that you would make yourself known to us, that you would meet us where we are, you would show us who you are. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.